If you have your Bible with you this morning, find with me Colossians in your New Testament, the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to continue this morning in our message series on peacemaking, reconciliation, and resolving conflict in our relationships. And on the front end of this series, once again, we want to focus on that it starts with Jesus. It starts with Him, who He is and what He has done for us. And in just a few minutes, we will take the symbols that He gave us as a reminder of what He's done for us in the Lord's Supper. I am the youngest of three brothers. I tell you that because I'd like some sympathy. But if not, that's okay. And if you have siblings, you get it when I say things were not always smooth sailing growing up as kids. You'd like to think they were, but not always. My brothers and I didn't always agree, didn't always get along. Sometimes my very presence was enough to make them mad. And occasionally we got into arguments, and occasionally we got into fights. And when that happened and my mom showed up to separate us, inevitably, one of us would point to the other one and say that thing that all siblings say, he started it. He started it. He's the blame. He's the one that made it all happen. I didn't do anything wrong, Mom. I was just a bystander when this thing got going. He started it. And when we think of conflict, that's where we go first. Who's to blame for the conflict? Who started this thing? God takes that and turns it on its head. Because God, even though He knows who started the conflict between Him and us, even though He knows who started it, God is a lot more concerned with who finishes it. God is a lot more concerned with who starts the reconciliation to begin with. And God did that for us. God went first. The Bible teaches that you and I are estranged from God. We don't have a relationship with Him, no matter how religious we are. We don't have a relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ, and that's because of our sin. Since the Garden of Eden, there has been a breach between us, humanity, and God. And it's because of our sin. But God loves us so much, He made a way to bridge that breach. Across that divide, He made a way so that we could be reconciled to Him. He didn't wait for us to admit that we were at fault. He went first. That's what the Lord's Supper reminds us of, and that's where we're going to focus for just a few minutes this morning. In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul is describing God in Jesus Christ. He is describing the Lord Jesus, what God did in Christ to brand new believers. And in doing so, He reminds us of something basic about having peace with God and resolving conflicts with one another. And it's very simply this: reconciliation is a gospel issue. Relationships in Christ are about the gospel. They start with our relationship with Jesus Christ first, and then our relationships with other people, especially our siblings in Christ, but it's a gospel issue. It's about what God did for us in Christ to begin with and who Jesus is. Look at Colossians chapter 1. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Look at verse 19. Where the Apostle Paul writes, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him," that is Jesus Christ, "and through Him to reconcile everything to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." When the Apostle Paul writes these words, I have to think he is conscious of his own history and the Word of God through the ages. For example, Isaiah chapter 53 that describes and foretells the coming of Christ one day. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, the prophet Isaiah says, "But He was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on Him, and we are healed by His wounds." It's almost impossible to understand peace in the Bible, peace between people, if we don't understand peace with God. And it's impossible to understand peace with God if we don't understand it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it's in the gospel of Jesus Christ that God came to make peace between us, between you and me, to make it available. Now, it's not automatic, but he made it available for all people for all time that we could have peace with him. We're the ones that started it. We're the ones that broke the relationship, and yet he goes first to reconcile the relationship, establishing what it means to be a believer in Christ, what it means to follow Christ in reconciliation and resolving conflict. To make peace, we do what God did and what God does. Let's refresh ourselves this morning on what the gospel is about, on what God did for us in Christ. Because that's what the Apostle Paul does for us in just these two verses, as he once again zeroes in on God making peace between us and him. There are three truths that arise out of Paul's message here. The first one is that God initiates peace in Christ. God initiates peace in Christ. We've already seen that, and as we study the Bible, we see it frequently, that God is always proactive. God is always looking forward. God is always taking action. God is always planning ahead with purpose. And here we see that God initiates peace in Christ. Paul begins in verse 19, for God. That is, this is your signal. God did something that we could not do for ourselves. For God did this. God was pleased that the fullness of deity, God himself, would dwell in Jesus Christ for the purpose of reconciling all people and everything else to God and making peace on the cross. God did that. God established a way that we could have peace with him that we could not do for ourselves. It would be permanent and it would be absolute. He made it available to us, and when we trust Christ as our Savior, we receive it as our own. We are at peace with God, because God initiated that peace. This is exactly the opposite of the way that you and I mostly behave. When we have a rift with someone, we back off and say, well, they started it, so they have to go first. We started it, but God went first. God said, I'm going to build a bridge, an unmistakable, indescribable, but permanent and powerful bridge between you and me, and all you have to do is cross it. You want to end this fight? God says, I made a way. And we can have peace together. God is the great peacemaker. And it begins with initiating peace. Why would God do that for us? Why would God do that for you? Why would God establish a way for you to have peace with him when you started it? You're the one that disobeyed him. Your forefather, Adam, disobeyed him, and ever since then, we've been sinners, disobedient, and our inclination is still to disobey. Why would he do that? There's only one reason. He loves you that much. He loves you that much that he wants to have peace with you. He wants you back. So he established a way that you and I could come. He initiated peace through and in Jesus Christ so you and I would have a way home and to be able to have peace with him. It teaches us once again, if we're to behave like gospel believers, once we've come to Christ and once we've been saved in him, once we've been forgiven, once we're at peace with God, if we're to behave like gospel believers, that means we initiate peace also. Remember what Jesus said? We saw it last week, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. We are to be peacemakers. And that begins with, and maybe especially means, with one another. With one another. He initiated peace in Christ, so we learn as believers to initiate peace with one another. Second, God defines peace in Christ. He not only initiates it, he defines peace in Christ. He so closely ties our peace with God to Jesus Christ that it's inseparable. In other words, you can't have peace with God apart from Jesus Christ. The Bible's very clear on that. And we read it here again as we read the words of Paul, and Paul said that God was well pleased to have the fullness of deity dwell in Jesus Christ, dwell in him, and through him reconcile everything to him. That is, through Christ, reconcile everything separated from God back to God, to bring reconciliation through Christ. Now, what that first part of that means is that it was God's will. He was well pleased to have the fullness of deity, everything that's God, invested in Jesus of Nazareth, invested in Christ. It was not an evolution of his nature. He didn't gradually become God in the flesh. When he was born in Bethlehem, he was born God in the flesh. He was completely deity all of his 33 years on planet Earth, and he still is now in eternity. He is absolutely God. And while he was on Earth, he was not limited by anything but his existence as a man. He was limited in that he chose also to be fully man. But underscore this mystery, and we can't grasp it entirely, but God invested all of deity into Jesus Christ from the moment that Christ was incarnate in flesh on planet Earth. He was fully God. He was pleased. It was his will to do that. And then, therefore, through Christ, to offer reconciliation, to make peace. It's just a basic fact of Scripture. If we're to have peace with God, it comes through Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that has ever done what was required to build that bridge between you and me. He is the only one that could, because he was fully God and fully man, and he went to the cross and made peace and continues making peace, continues reconciling through his blood shed on the cross. That's not a popular teaching from Scripture, but it's an absolute teaching in Scripture that through Christ and Christ alone, a person has peace with God. A lot of times you'll hear other religions are peaceful religions. Well, good for them. That's a good thing. Whether it's another religion, another perspective, another faith, another club, whatever it is, it's peaceful. It keeps peace among its members, and it solicits peace among its neighbors, and even tries to be peacemakers in the world. That's a good thing. But understand, the Scripture teaches that peace with God only comes through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, the believer in Christ learns to be a gospel peacemaker. And that means taking the gospel to people first. The Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ in the world, reconciling people to Christ when we take the gospel to them. Why? Because only through Christ can a person be reconciled to God and have peace with God. They can live the most peaceful life on planet Earth they like, but apart from Christ, they have no peace with God. So our job is to be gospel reconcilers, peacemakers, to take the gospel to the world around us, to tell people that God loves them and God wants to have a relationship with them through Jesus Christ. Being religious won't do it. Trusting Christ is what does it. And what gives us that relationship with God that we so desire. We look for peace in so many other places. We fight for peace in so many other ways. And we think of peace so often as being what's here on planet Earth, but we can't neglect that God sees peace first as our relationship with him. And the great irony of it is, for all our struggling for peace here on planet Earth, we're still fighting against God until we're at peace with him. And we started that fight, but God came first to finish it. He went first to finish it. When God defines peace for people, he defines it through Jesus Christ. We receive salvation by grace through faith. We are reconciled to God, and then we become gospel reconcilers to the world and to one another. And we show God's love for one another by reconciling, resolving conflict, building relationships, advancing peace in our own relationships, and then in the world. There's a big difference sometimes between the way people make peace in the world apart from Christ and the way believers are expected to make peace in the world with Christ. And the difference is simply our self-centeredness. A lot of times, people making peace in the world, it's really about them. isn't it? It's really about them. It's what they can get out of it. Think of any peace treaty or truce through the ages, and you think of this. This is what people are about, what they can get out of it. So rarely do they want to go first. To make peace in the world, they want to keep the peace that's already established to see what they can get out of it. The Lord's Supper is God's peace treaty. The cross is God's peace treaty. It's God reminding us that He came first. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, it's no longer about us. It's about other people being reconciled to Christ. When we moved into our house in 2005, we came with two big dogs. And so we fenced in the backyard. And I called a gentleman that was recommended. He came over to the house to work on the fence. And I found out he was a believer. I remember we stood outside in my yard. We talked probably for about a half an hour about his relationship with the Lord. And I said, "Now, I can't help but connect this to your business at building fences. You're in the business of building fences. So does that ever bump up against your relationship with Christ?" He said, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." He said, "I'll give you a perfect example." He told me the story. He told me the story of being called out to a person's house to build a fence between that person and his neighbor because they could not get along. And he said, "Pastor Bob, I just could not do that." And I went out on the site and I explained to this gentleman that that was not what he needed. And he looked at me with these angry eyes. He said, "You need to understand, though, I'm a businessman. I'm not in the business of separating people. If you have a problem with your neighbor, I would love to sit down and mediate that problem, but what I will not do is build a fence between you." Isn't that great? There's a man of gospel action who says, "I will do what I can to be a gospel peacemaker." Peacemaking, conflict resolution, is a gospel issue. Why? Because God did that. God made it that way. You and I can't back away from it. God made peace with us first, and He calls us to make peace with others. And He defines peace in Jesus Christ. Then last, God provides peace in Christ. We've already said it, but Paul underscores it, so let's do that ourselves. He provides peace in Christ and in Christ alone. Peace with God comes only through Christ. It's defined in Christ, it's the face of Christ, and it's provided in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul put it this way: to reconcile, the full deity of God dwells in Christ to reconcile everything to Him by making peace through the shed blood on the cross. And we need to follow that for just a moment. First, reconciling. Reconciling is an active verb in Paul's words and what he wrote. It means God is presently and actively doing it. He was doing it at the cross and He's doing it still. God is reconciling people to Him. He made a way available that anyone could come to Him, and He is actively making peace with those who will trust Christ as their Savior. He is reconciling to us. God wants a relationship with you. God loves you so much, He wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want to be at war with you. He wants to be at peace with you. And He's established a way for you to do that permanently, that you can come to Christ and you can have again that relationship with God in Jesus Christ that He so wants you to have. So much so, He sent His Son to die on the cross so you could have that relationship. And then along with that, He says, making peace, or having made peace, literally. Having made peace means it was a one-time action on the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, God made peace with humanity at that moment. So peace would be available always and forevermore. Having made peace means it's a one-time action and activity of God, not to be repeated. So having established and made peace at the cross, having signed His part of the peace treaty, God then is calling people to reconciliation, ongoing activity of God. He is calling us always back to Him to sign our part of the peace treaty, individually, one at a time, calling us to Christ so we would be at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would later write this in Romans chapter 5. Paul said, "We have been made righteous by faith through peace with God and the Lord Jesus Christ." God did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and he built that bridge. That's why peacemaking is a gospel issue. It's about the gospel. And God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you to make peace, to sign his part of the peace treaty in the blood of Christ. So then when you realized and you acknowledged that rift between you and God because of your sin, you repented of that sin, you come to Christ and sign your part of the peace treaty, you're at peace with God. Not because of what you did or what I did, but because of Jesus Christ. In 1962, a missionary named Don Richardson, his wife and his child, accepted the call of God to New Guinea to reach the Sawi people. Now, the Sawi people were an unreached people group who were highly materialistic. They were cannibals. They were deceitful. In their culture, they honored war, deceit in every respect. He knew this was going to be hard going, but he and his wife felt called to them to New Guinea. When they arrived, there were three different tribes of the Sawi people already at war with one another. Terrible, bloody war among cannibal people, you can imagine. But he and his wife planted themselves there, and they began to learn one of the hardest languages in the world to learn, the Sawi language. Don Richardson studied the Sawi language 8 to 10 hours a day the first several months that he was there. I'll give you an idea, the English language has like 12 verb tenses. The Sawi language has 19. And you thought English was hard. But they were planted there and they were called of God and they worked as hard as they could. And they gained the trust of the Sawi people in every tribe. And they started to share the gospel with them. But they immediately encountered a problem. Because in the Sawi culture, deceitful people were the most honorable. Murderous people were the most honorable. And when he shared the gospel story, they thought Judas was the hero. How do you get past that? They cheered for Judas. They exalted Judas. They thought Jesus was weak because he didn't kill Judas. This went on and on, and they kept bumping into this problem in the culture. How do we get them to understand what Christ has done for them, that Christ is the hero of the story? Finally, he and his wife decided they couldn't do any more. They just couldn't get through, and they made it known to the Sawi leaders they were going to leave. They'd done everything they could. They were going to leave. Their hearts were broken. And they had built these relationships so much so that the Sawi people didn't want them to leave. Believe it or not, they didn't want the missionaries to leave. So the three warring tribes came together and decided to make peace. And Don Richardson was astounded when he saw how they made peace. It was something he had never seen before, never encountered before, never been told about by any of the Sawi people. The way they make peace with other tribes is sacrificing a child to the tribe. They don't kill the child, they give the child to the other tribe. So men in one tribe would scoop up their sons and take them to the elders and the leaders and the king of the other tribe, and they would put their sons at the feet of that tribe. They were all so hysterical and so upset that Don Richardson and his wife might leave. They started coming in groups with their sons to give their children away to the other tribes. And Don Richardson wrote later, he'll never forget one man came running out of the group holding his little baby and putting it at the feet. And he knelt at the feet of the leader of the other tribe and cried out, "Take my child for peace, for peace." He learned later that it was a tradition for them to make peace that way, a tradition that had not been practiced for generations. It was the tradition of the peace child. That to make peace among warring parties, a son would be sacrificed. A son would be sacrificed. It's not hard to see that suddenly the gospel was made real. And the Sawi people started coming to Christ once he explained to them that Jesus Christ is the peace child. God's peace child. They started coming to Christ, and to this day, there are Christians in New Guinea because of Don Richardson and his wife. God went first. God went first. He sacrificed his son to make peace with you. He signed the peace treaty in his blood. The only question is, will you accept it? Will you accept it and say yes, be reconciled to God in Jesus Christ? In a moment, I'm going to pray for us, and the deacons are going to come, and we're going to share in the Lord's Supper. And maybe this is your first time at First Baptist Church, or maybe you've been coming for a while. If you're not a member at First Baptist Church, but you know Jesus as your Savior, we invite you to participate with us in the Lord's Supper this morning. You don't have to be a member here. But the Bible teaches that this is an explicitly Christian activity and event. We are celebrating what we have received, what we have accepted, what we know that Christ has done for us. So if you're sitting here this morning, and in your heart, you know, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do the bravest thing you've probably been asked to do all week long. When the bread comes and the cup comes, I'm going to ask you to let those pass right by. I'm going to ask you to be that honest, to let that cup go by, to let that bread go by. But the good news is, at the end of the hour, I'm also going to invite you to come to Christ, to trust Him as your Savior for the very first time, so that the next time you're in a room like this, maybe right here at this church, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you will be celebrating your peace with God through Jesus Christ as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to this time, God, in which we celebrate what you've done for us in Christ, your peace treaty through the cross, in which you did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And God, I pray even now, as we receive the bread and then we receive the cup, we'll be reminded, God, of the high price you paid for us in Christ to be reconciled to you. God, I pray for each one who is here. And I pray, Father, you would speak to us again this morning about what you have done for us in Christ, that you have reconciled us to you, relationship with you through Christ. If there's any sin in our lives, God, show us that in our hearts this morning we would confess that to you. We would be cleansed, we would be starting over, we would be refreshed and renewed in what you've done for us in Christ. And God, if there's one here this morning and they know they've never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray they'd have the courage to let the bread go by, the cup go by, but at the end of the hour, God, they trust Jesus as their Savior today, and celebrate what you've done for us. And it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.